ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on that Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed anything, all available at podcastarena.com. And you can also get our gambling audiobook on there. And if you want to give it as a gift, we're going to have it set up here very soon where you can give it to someone as a gift for Christmas. Yeah. Which, you know, I think it's a great idea, especially for, like, let's say your significant other gambles and loses a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to help them.
Okay.
This would be a great gift, and it's really inexpensive. Anyway, you can listen to us on TuneIn Radio. You can listen to us on the ESPN Radio app and, of course, ESPN975.com. So if you're in your car and you get home and don't want to miss anything, all of those things are available to you. If you miss the first hour, you miss Sage Northcutt in studio. That was pretty cool. But you did not yet miss Christopher Harris. Or will he be? Who will be joining us later in the show? All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be out in Katy and at Absolute Fitness and Nutrition, which is 25600 West Heimer Parkway. And you were out there today. This looks like a very cool place.
Awesome.
So we're going to have some raffle giveaways tomorrow.
I had a fantastic workout. Got a chiropractic adjustment. I got a massage. Got two massages, actually. And Brandon tried to compete with me.
Yeah.
And failed miserably.
Of course he did.
I beat him by over a minute on our circuit.
Wow.
Dominated.
So if you show up tomorrow, you can get a free all-access trial.
Yeah. 30 days of free training.
And so. Chick-fil-A catering. So there's all kinds of cool stuff that we're going to be giving away. So a lot of people have been asking, when are you coming back to Katy? Well, tomorrow.
Be there tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting out there.
Kevin was the trainer that I had today. Did a fantastic job. It's a really cool spot, man. If it was close to my house, that'd be my go-to spot.
Yeah.
I still may try to get down there a little more often. It's worth a drive. I mean, if you're paying for personal training, that's one thing, and personal training is not cheap, obviously. No. But on top of the personal training, getting a chiropractor, an in-house chiropractor, an in-house masseuse, and they give you a free meal and a protein shake at the end of it, like a good healthy meal,
yeah,
and a protein shake. It's hard to beat, man.
Man, it just sounds like a really cool place. So looking forward to getting out there, and I was hoping to get out there with you guys today, but it's been a long week. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Mark, you're on the Blitz.
What's going on, guys?
Sports, man.
All right, sports to you, too. Hey, quick question. North Carolina somehow pulls out the upset against Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got as far as teams in the Final Four playoffs? I know you got Oklahoma, you got Alabama if they win, but who are the other two teams? I know one's a Big Ten team.
One is a Big Ten team.
You put Ohio State in there, too, or what else you got? I'll hang up and listen.
Fred and I have gone back and forth on this, and I think there's one of three teams. And it's either North Carolina, the ACC champion, if they were to win that. That's what I think they would.
Which the committee does not seem to like them.
They don't. I mean, they're
but they're not. They also, if they're like last year, they're not going to be afraid to
totally reshuffle.
Right.
Yeah. They have shown a knack for doing that. Ohio State is another one. Although Ohio State has literally one quality win this year.
Right.
It happened to be the last one. So you know they're playing good football right now. And the other one, it depends. I mean, assuming Stanford beats USC, that's the third alternative.
I'll be honest, I don't think Stanford's going to beat USC.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Stanford just beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, but I think USC's playing better football. Stanford's got some problems on defense. I think USC wins that game.
Okay. Well, that would obviously knock them out of the discussion then.
Yeah, but I think they'll be in that discussion, but I would be surprised if it's not Ohio State. Just going by the way that I think these people look at it, I bet it would be Ohio State.
You know who that would really piss off? The Pac-12.
Yep.
The ACC.
Yep.
It'd piss off a lot of people if you got two,
of course it would, but
two Big Ten teams in there and one with Ohio State's resume, which is not impressive.
No, it's not that impressive, but in truth, if all that happens, hell, I think there'd be a case to be made for Clemson if it's a fluke kind of game. Like if they lose the way that Michigan lost to Michigan State, I think there'd be a case to be made for Clemson in there. But that,
or you'd be setting a pretty scary precedent if that's the case.
But
they've said, I mean, the committee, like in their you know, their book that they're going by, supposedly, I mean, it says that they are valuing a conference championship very highly, which is why Stanford and North Carolina, I think, are viable options.
I mean, think they value it highly until it affects a team that they want in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it really.
Gosh, they played two ranked, Ohio State played two ranked teams this year, lost one. I mean, it just happens that their last one was a road win against Michigan, and it was a road ass whooping against Michigan. But you're talking about it on paper. Ohio State does not have the resume that would warrant them getting in.
No, but they have the name.
They do have the
and
name,
and that's a factor whether people want to admit
also
it or
not. Even to mention, I always say if you're gonna sneak in, you better lose early and not late.
Right.
They lost their second to last game of the season. I mean, they were undefeated until they played Michigan State. That's tough. Yeah. If Ohio State does get in, which I'm not saying is not a possibility, I think it's a distinct possibility.
All right.
But if they do get in, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
Yeah, I think, but the reality is, however they do it, somebody's going to be pissed. I don't think unless Clemson wins and I'm assuming Alabama wins. I'm not even giving any thought to Florida winning that game. If those teams win, nobody's going to really have a complaint.
But I
kind of hope something does happen because I want to see what they do.
Well, here's what I think. I think Ohio State and Stanford are the ones that the committee most want to get in there. They would prefer to have one of those two teams for obvious reasons. But if Stanford does lose, like you're saying, and North Carolina's a one-loss ACC champion and they're not put in over the third, what amounts to the third best team the Big Ten had, that's tough. That'd be a really difficult thing to explain.
Yeah.
Stanford, you can explain. Stanford has two losses. If they win a championship with two losses, you could put Ohio State in over them, and they'll be. And if you look at their resume, Stanford has a much better resume. But you can make the argument because they've got two losses that right. Ohio State's deserving. If Stanford loses and it's just UNC versus Ohio State, man, that's gonna be a tough sell.
It is. It is.
Because one team was sitting home this week, they didn't even win the division of their conference, and the other one just beat the best team in the country.
Somebody asked, should there be a third place game in the college football playoff? God, no.
There's enough games.
No, and that, you talk about a game nobody wants to play in. That they used to do that way back in the beginning, I think, with the, I want to say it was the NFL used to do that. And, I mean, nobody wants to play in those games. They're absolutely meaningless. So, plus, it would take away from your championship game.
Yep.
And so, it'd be interesting to see if Oklahoma and Alabama lost. I'd like to watch. Well, they lost. So, that's why it's a playoff.
So, Fred, Jong just posted the picture of us with Sage Northcutt.
Yes.
And last time, people were worried about my nipples. Now your nipples are shining through, and you're wearing two shirts.
Well, no, it's one shirt with, it's just.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Those are fake sleeves.
They're faux sleeves. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not the best angle of me.
Your nipple game is strong in that picture.
Crappy job, John.
I love it. A lot of listeners have been curious about your nipples. Well,
now they can see them.
Now they know nipple placement, nipple size, everything. Mm. The only thing that's missing is nipple color. That's the three keys to nipples. Everyone knows that.
Let me check because I'm not even sure. I never pay any attention.
Dark or light?
I'm guessing dark. I never really paid attention. Right. It's not like something I look at. It's like, oh, I wonder what my nipples look like.
Well, I have nice pink nipples.
Oh, okay.
They look good on my milky white skin.
That's what I get for wearing a relatively tight shirt today that I just washed, and it shrank two sizes on top of everything else. But, oh well.
Now everyone knows about both our nipples.
Yep, you've gotten a chance to see them now.
John,
so.
You're next.
Yeah.
The people want to see.
I think John should just show his.
They want to know about your nipples, bro.
Especially since he did that to both of us.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know you can take more than one photo in those things. You just go click, click, and move things around a little bit so that you can choose between one that might look okay and one that sucks. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll squeeze in some more phone calls when we come back, as long as they're not about anybody's nipples. Not male nipples. If you want to talk about female nipples, I'm okay with that. Quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. We might squeeze in some phone calls this segment. Next segment, we'll have Christopher Harris with fantasy. So if you're still alive or you got some FanDuel-type questions, then go ahead and text them to us at the text line, 713-780-3776. And I guess people saying Barry said something wrong. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Running around. 832 asks, I'm in a must-win situation to get in the playoffs. Would y'all start Big Ben or Dalton?
To me,
man, the Browns with no Hayden, AJ Green's gonna have a monster game.
Yeah, Matt Schaub had a good day. I mean, without the interceptions, and you assume Andy Dalton's not gonna throw Matt Schaub like interceptions, but
theoretically, it's not a playoff game, so there's no
listen,
way.
But listen, I think you have to go with Roethlisberger. The way that Steelers offense has been going, I mean, they're more passed and I really think this is a game where. You know, I would worry if I thought the Steelers were going to run away from the Colts, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I think I'd have to go with Ben.
Yeah, I think that's a – I mean, you can make a pretty good case for using – just for the matchup, using Dalton, but I think I'd sink or swim with Roethlisberger. Let's try Steven. What's up, Steven?
Sports.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I'm a diehard Baltimore Ravens fan, and I was just calling in. We've obviously suffered a lot of injuries this year, and I was wondering what you thought our chances were of still squeezing into the playoffs.
Your chances are zero. Listen, I believe in the Ravens typically most years. I just can't right now. I mean, they're a mess. There's too many injuries. Matt Schaub is your quarterback. Part of what makes the Ravens competitive year in and year out is Joe Flacco, whatever people say about him. Joe Flacco is a lot better than his reputation would lead you to believe, but Matt Schaub is Matt Schaub. I mean, it's
yeah, and it's easy to get excited when you just beat a crap team and think, well, maybe. But now, realistically, it's a next year thing. And you know what? Look at the bright side. If you're a Ravens fan, you haven't had to deal with this very much. You guys are always making the playoffs, and they'll bounce back. I have no doubt in my mind that team will be back next year. But, yeah, I think it's – I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's damned improbable. Sorry, no, that's not what you wanted to hear. We could be all positive and, you know, oh, I think there's a great chance. I think it could happen.
No. Listen, I was just talking about all these
believe
teams.
Believe in unicorns and rainbows.
I was just talking about all these teams that aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah, I don't see much hope. All right, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And we haven't had a chance to talk too much about the Heisman, which I think gets settled this week, if it's not already settled. But somebody had asked who our top three would be, and I can tell you what they are in the odds. And then I can kind of tell you what I would do. But Derrick Henry is the current favorite.
Not no surprise. I think he's going to win it. I mean, unless he just craps his pants this week.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm not so sure I wouldn't vote for Deshaun Watson. I think he's been pretty incredible all year. for an undefeated team that's going to be number one in the country. And he's obviously number two in the odds. Christian McCaffrey is third.
That's probably my top three. And I think Baker Mayfield's in the
Baker Mayfield is the guy that I would probably put third. I think he's, especially with, I mean, the way that team has played with him at quarterback, and he's been terrific. But guys who run that offense almost never win the Heisman. It's, well, I say that.
Guys who run that, I mean, Robert Griffin III won the Oscar.
Yeah, he did, and I guess.
Tim Tebow won it.
No, that wasn't that. That's not the.
No, but I'm just saying it's an unconventional offense that relies a lot on running. Johnny Manziel won it. You know.
I guess so.
It's a different age.
Yeah, but, I mean, Tebow's not running the same offense as Manziel and Baker Mayfield and RG3.
Yeah.
That's an air raid thing. So. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Cody wanted to know if that caller was serious. Also, he sounded like he should be on suicide watch. Yeah, I mean, some people are just never willing to give up. Look at Cowboys fan. Well, we had that whole conversation.
Yeah.
Let's try Tyler. What's up, Tyler?
Sports, guys. How y'all doing?
Sports to you.
Good deal. I was just calling in. This year, I really think it's up in the air. I mean, we really don't know who the Heisman's going to be. And I mean, just about every year for the past 5 or 6 years, it's been a pretty cold-cut winner going into the Heisman Day. I'm pulling for Baker Mayfield just because the numbers he's putting up. I mean, I'm a Longhorns fan, man, and I really want to see Oklahoma win it, and I kind of want to see Baker Mayfield win the Heisman.
That's pretty weird. But, hey, I mean, you like who you like. That's fair. I think I would like to see Deshaun Watson win it because,
yeah,
I think if, well,
unless they lose,
Baker Mayfield goes into this same box too, because I feel like if you take Derrick Henry off of Alabama, Alabama's probably got another running back waiting around there that's gonna do great things.
They've already had one win it. They had I mean, whoever they plug in, whether
Ingram,
it was
Lacey, I mean,
Trent Richardson,
yeah, the line goes on. Clemson is not where they are right now without Deshaun Watson. They're just not. And Oklahoma, we saw what Oklahoma is without Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
They're the second half of the TCU game, and it is not good. So he's important. I you know, and I think Stanford would be fine without McCaffrey, even though he's put up some big numbers. I think Deshaun Watson would be my vote, especially if they beat North Carolina. If they don't beat North Carolina, I think I don't think he'll beat Henry. I don't think he has a chance, really. I mean, I think a lot rides on this one game.
Yeah,
if he wins it, I think it's you're talking about a coin flip, basically. And that's another thing that might hurt Baker Mayfield is not having another game. You know, it'd be nice for Baker Mayfield to have a championship game right now.
Yeah, which as much as you wouldn't want that as far as the playoff goes, it would help him. But, yeah, I think it may come down to this week, especially if Henry doesn't play that well, and Watson has one of those Heisman moments we always talk about, then I think it would it might make a difference. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Christopher Harris will join us next segment and tell us all about fantasy football, but you've got a way to help people with fantasy.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And you know what that music means. Time for fantasy football expert. He runs HarrisFootball.com. Christopher Harris. You can follow him on Twitter at Harris Football. Mr. Harris, how the heck are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing sports, man. Doing sports. It's fantasy. It's almost, it's like play into the playoffs week.
Yeah, this is it. This is a lot of leagues have their last week of the regular season. I know I'm in one league. It's actually the first week of the playoffs. So it's where the rubber meets the road. I got to earn my no money.
We're getting a lot of questions about, you know, must win, this guy, who do I use? At this stage, is in most leagues, anybody who's worth having is snapped up, right? There's not, unless you're streaming defenses or something, there's not a guy that you could grab off the waiver wire this week that's going to help you for 1 week? Is there, do you look at a guy like Chandler in New England or somebody like that if he's available?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, do I think Scott Chandler's a good player? As a Patriot fan, I say no. But, you know, do I think he's potentially inheriting an unbelievably valuable role? I mean, you know, obviously we're not going to see Rob Gronkowski this week. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think Scott Chandler's a call that could save some people who have Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham, maybe even Tyler Eifert, because he's got a neck stinger, hasn't been able to practice yet. You know, that's some good tight ends who you might be missing. And I would say David Johnson is the other one, the running back in Arizona, the rookie, because Chris Johnson out for the rest of the regular season with a broken leg. Andre Ellington has turf toe. So, you know, Bruce Arians has certainly been known to mess around with his depth chart kind of without telling folks. So, you know, got to watch out for Stephon Taylor and Kerwin Williams. But I would guess that David Johnson belongs in the conversation to be a number two fantasy back.
What are we looking at in the Redskins backfield going forward? I mean, there's not been many that are more muddled than that one. Who do you see as the guy to own, or if there is a guy to play, who is it?
Nobody. You know, I just think week to week it changes too much. Matt Jones is extremely impressive on tape. We had a conversation a couple months ago about, you know, understanding that his high moments are really good. You know, he's got the potential to be a really good player, but just four fumbles that he's lost, all four of them, and, you know, played less than 20 snaps last week. Now, sometimes that's part of because if Washington's ahead, it becomes more of an Alfred Morris game, and when they get behind, it's more of a Matt Jones or Chris Thompson game. But, you know, the problem is you just don't know game flow-wise. You look at the Cowboys, you say, oh, you know, Washington should be all over them Monday night. But I don't think Washington's any good. So, you know, I think you're not starting any of them.
Christopher, how much attention do you pay to teams that have apparently quit? And, you know, when you have an option to not use their guys, like it sure looks like the Dolphins just don't care right now. and do you leave some guys out because of that? And I know you watch a lot of tape, so... when you see a team that looks like it's done that, does that affect your thinking at all?
Well, you know, I honestly don't feel comfortable even making the judgment whether a team has quit. You know, I mean, heck, we could have looked at that first half of Texans-Dolphins and said the Texans have totally quit, right? And look where we are. You know, they're very much in the playoff hunt. They get moved to prime time in a couple of weeks. You know, I feel like... You know, are there dogs on any given team? Of course there are. In fact, I would venture to say there are dogs on every single team. But I don't tend to think these guys – it's pretty difficult to play pro football, and it takes a lot of sacrifice to your body. And I think underestimating that is probably unfair for the large majority of NFL players. So it doesn't generally tend to factor into my – you know, into my thinking, maybe the last week, you know, maybe the last week when a team has been bad for a few weeks in a row and you can sense that they all want to get on the bus. But I still feel like we're a little bit early. And heck, I mean, let's take Miami in particular. That's an organization where they know everybody's gone. The coaching staff is gone. Like, you better put down some good tape because there's not going to be any personal loyalty when Sean Payton or whoever comes into Miami.
Speaking of Sean Payton, is Drew Brees done as an elite fantasy quarterback? Can we basically just say that's it?
I think we can say he's done as an elite guy every week. But, I mean, we're not that far away from a game against the Giants where he threw, I believe, let me check my math, he threw 800 touchdowns in that game against the Giants. You know, the answer is no. I mean, I'm not going to get all over Drew Brees for not playing well against that Houston defense, because I'm sorry, you guys are sitting on a gold mine there. You know, the Houston defense has played really well basically since that game against Miami. You know, I don't like him this week very much against Carolina either, but that's another bad matchup. I think Brees has descended to the level of just about all NFL quarterbacks, except maybe five guys. This has been such a weird year for quarterbacks where – maybe they're all matchup plays. Maybe they're all, you know, just you sort of have your heart in your mouth and you're just so worried about all of them. I can't come up with more than five guys who don't make me a little bit sick to start in fantasy right now.
What's going on in the Chicago backfield, the Matt Forte, Jeremy Langford thing? Timeshare this last week, and it was Forte's first week back. But do you expect to see Forte kind of reclaim that role, or what are you expecting to see?
Well, I don't think Langford's going away. You know, But there are a few running back situations where the second guy goes away. You know, I think it will verge more towards a two-thirds, one-third kind of thing for Forte. But that is speculative. And I think if anybody just wants to look at that situation and say, you know what, I don't want any part of it until it works itself out. I get that. You know, if you have good options and you don't want to use Forte or Langford, that's cool. I do think Forte should be rated ahead of Langford. I think he's just a better – I think for Matt Forte, you probably remember from earlier conversations this year, I just think he's a truly difference-making special kind of running back the way Arian Foster is when he's healthy. You know, just kind of a different kind of cat. So other things being equal, I say – I want to go with Forte, but I admit, you know, speculating on workload is something I don't think any of us are qualified to do if we're not sitting in that room.
I'm finding it very difficult, and maybe I'm crazy. You can tell me if I am. I'm finding it very difficult to list Todd Gurley as a must-play anymore. I know the guy's had some spectacular games, but that Rams offense is just a total mess, and basically defenses are just throwing everything to stop him. And if he doesn't get a lucky touchdown, you're getting nothing out of the guy like you did last week. What are your thoughts on Todd Gurley's value right now?
I think you got to start him. I'm a big proponent of you start talent. And, you know, if Todd Gurley goes off and has, you know, all he needs. The thing is that you're right. Of course, there probably isn't, you know, 142-yard, 17-carry game sitting there where he just again and again hits it and keeps gashing the defense. Like, that's probably not happening against Arizona. Not now that we know that Nick Foles is going to start again. There's not a lot of respect there for the passing game. But the talent that Todd Gurley has can manifest in one big run, can manifest in that one powering, you know, lucking into a vulture-type touchdown. Much more so than, you know, Charcandrick West, who, you know, just picking a guy at random. I want the guy who is an elite talent, and I recognize that that elite talent won't probably translate to, you know, the best that he's been this year and the best that he can be according to that talent. But I just think he's a special dude. And even against the Bengals last week, I was impressed in the fourth quarter. He was laying his guts out on the field. He was breaking tackles even if they were in the backfield. I think good things are ahead.
How much do you downgrade Dez Bryant, Darren McFadden, now that Tony Romo is out of the mix?
Yeah, they need to be downgraded. You know, Dez is a tough one. It's not like he didn't make any plays when Castle was the quarterback. We remember that touchdown out of the slot a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, I mean, there aren't as many plays to be made. I think McFadden probably stays about where you would typically have him, maybe a little lower. But, you know, if anything, you would think that team gets even more run-focused. And, frankly, I'll take the volume, even if I don't think McFadden's a spectacular player. Dez is a tough one. You know, a lot of folks on the podcast this week wanted me to tell them to bench him no matter what. You know, and I say, well, listen, he's just such a good player. I don't think he's the kind of guy who just doesn't try. You know, I think he's a gamer. He's a knucklehead off the field, but he's a great player. And I say, give me the great player. And, you know, he's not a number one fantasy receiver the way he would be with Romo. No question about that. But I still think he's a top 20 receiver.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Check him out at harrisfootball.com. Still doing the podcast every day, right?
Every day, yeah. One more tomorrow, and then we're down to 4 weeks with, like, you know, the Christmas holiday in there and the New Year's holiday in there. Man, I think we have like 16 or 17 episodes left all year. We got to get on board now, right?
Exactly.
Hey, one more, Chris. You think Russell Wilson, what we saw out of him last week, is a sign of things to come?
The quick answer is no. I mean, okay. Steeler pass defense really bad. You know, making a whole bunch of long touchdowns via the air just feels like, you know, a little bit of fool's gold. But maybe it makes up for the pain of not having seen him run for touchdowns this year, which, you know, he normally has. So a little celestial justice there. But no, I don't feel like Wilson goes into that group of the top five quarterbacks where, you know, I believe every week. You know, I think he's still a magic guy.
Okay.
All right, that's Christopher Harris, joins us every week. Christopher, as always, appreciate the time, sir. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Awesome, guys. Enjoy the game tonight. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Catch up on our shows, stay up to date on station events, news stories, contests, and more. Log on to ESPN 97.5.com. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. Should be fun. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, this is one of those gems that has a lot of things going on in it, like a panda, a homeless lawyer, former lawyer, an Irishman, drugs, the Irishman dressed in women's clothing,
okay,
and an actual woman.
Okay.
So those are kind of the highlights. But Desmond Moran, who's from Ireland, was cleared of trespass with intent to commit a sexual offense after saying he'd taken too many drugs to know what he was doing.
Makes sense.
He is a homeless former lawyer who sneaked into a woman's bedroom wearing fishnet stockings and a purple G-string. He claimed he'd taken so many drugs he thought the terrified woman was a giant panda. He could not recall why he was...
a lot of drugs.
Well,
man.
Yeah, you have to be really messed up to be seeing a giant panda. Now, it could have been a big woman. I don't know. And maybe she was wearing black and white. You can almost see that.
Maybe.
But he could not recall...
Still a long shot, though.
He could not recall why he was dressed in women's underwear when he got into her flat in Baywater. The woman told a court she was sleeping in bed with her two children when she awoke to find him staring at her from the doorway. She watched as he slowly crossed the room to stare out the window. Jurors were, of course, giggling when they were shown the stockings and G-string that he had been wearing. But the woman said, "I woke up and I saw him there, and he was just looking at us. And I felt like he was looking at me, even though the two kids were there. I said, 'Who are you? What are you doing? What are you doing in my apartment?' That's when I started getting quite anxious, and I started screaming at him, and the children woke up."
How odd.
"When I first saw him, I couldn't see much. I thought he had an apron on. He wasn't wearing trousers or a jacket. It was like a costume, and when he went to the window and turned around, I could see his bottom. He had a G-string on."
All right.
She said he never answered, even though she shouted at him during the encounter. When he finally left, she ran to her live-in nanny's room and locked herself and her children in until the police arrived. He was quickly discovered in the basement in a shelter used to keep, I don't even know what these things are, but he was still wearing his fishnet stockings and G-string. Had a backpack, a black laptop, and a variety of drug paraphernalia. He was high on crack cocaine and crystal meth.
Good for him.
And but he said he went into the block to get a bed for the night and denied ever seeing the woman. Said, "I honestly didn't see a woman on the bed. I didn't see any children in the bed. I honestly thought it was a big panda bear in the bed. That's what it looked like to me. I had taken some drugs, but I'm pretty certain that's what I saw. I didn't see any woman. I didn't see any kids. Were they under the panda?" So.
Where was this at?
This was in England.
Man.
England has some weirdos, too. I mean, Florida is the world leader, but England's got some.
I got to get some of those drugs.
Yeah, well, I think I'll pass on the crystal meth and crack. I would like to take something where I could see a giant panda, but I don't think those are the drugs I want to mess with. Anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Told you it had a lot going on in that story.
That's true. There is a lot going on.
Yeah. So.
Including a panda.
Yeah. Well.
A supposed panda.
An imagined panda. I mean, it's got to be a good gem if there's a panda involved, right? I mean, let's face it. A panda, a guy dressed like a woman. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I'd had that yesterday for Moron of the Week, because that would have been a clear winner.
Would have been.
In fact, that would be a contender for Moron of the Year. But it didn't work out that way. 713-780-ESPN. The game tonight, when we'll talk with Willie B a little bit, but when he comes on at 6:15, and we didn't get to really ask Christopher Harris, is there anybody in fantasy that you like tonight? Like if you're playing on FanDuel or DraftKings, is there anything there that you appeals to you for tonight's games?
I'm not playing daily yet. I'll probably be playing daily going forward from this week, because there will be some, I'll have less week to week leagues.
Yeah, because your other teams are dead.
Yeah, I'll have less season long teams. But I would imagine Matt Stafford can be had at a pretty decent value. And I'm not opposed to that. I think that's a guy. you know, I don't know if the Packers are going to, or I don't know if the Lions are going to win the game, but if they fall behind, Matt Stafford's still going to be throwing a lot. And I like the matchups on the outside for both those receivers, for Tate and Calvin Johnson. I think that you're going to see some big numbers from Matt Stafford. So I don't know where he's at cost wise, but I think Matt Stafford might be. I don't know if he's top. I don't know if he's top five, but he's probably like top seven or eight for me this week. Matt Stafford.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably passing on all of it because.
And Aaron Rodgers is probably the second or third highest paid guy on those sites, and I think that you might get equal performance out of those two.
Yeah, I almost think if you're playing on those sites, you should never spend the money on the big quarterback.
Yeah,
I think you should.
I think the money this week should be spent on either like a guy like Blake Bortles going against the Titans, or Jay Cutler going against the 49ers. I think you're going to see some, or Matt Hasselbeck. That's a guy who's probably really cheap, and we've just seen the Steelers defense. They will give it up through the air.
I think anybody who's playing the Saints, I like starting that quarterback.
Well, that's Cam Newton this week.
Yeah, and he's going to cost you, but I
think Brock Osweiler's not a terrible option either.
Against the Chargers?
Yeah. Chargers are really bad defensively.
All right. Another hour to go. 713-780-ESPN is your number.